Since 1981, Justin has been producing world-class Bordeaux-style wines from Paso Robles on the California Central Coast. As a pioneer of the region, Justin Wines helped put Paso Robles on the winemaking map. The Justin team believes the wine should be exceptional in every aspect, which is why they use boutique winemaking practices like hand harvesting and hand sorting. With a rich history of accolades, Justin is proud to produce exceptional wines and hold the title of America's number one luxury Cabernet. Whether you're a first-time wine drinker or a seasoned aficionado, Justin has the perfect wine for every occasion. Visit justinwine.com and enter promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off your order. Justin Wines also makes the perfect holiday gifts for clients, colleagues, friends, or family. Don't miss out. Visit justinwine.com and use the promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off for a limited time. Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer here on the mentorship edition of Office Hours. I got three great mentors with me in different areas and different respects. The amazing Rob Gill, David Williams, and Chad Chandrigan. Great to see you all with me co-hosting. This is our teammates, and I have our finest mentor executive of not only one of my favorite companies in the world, but it's one of the most successful companies in Orange County, which is saying a lot because you would think it would be a biotech company that I'm talking about, but it's not. That's it, baby, right there. Travis Matthew Apparel, the CEO of Travis Matthew Apparel, my friend, and a great mentor to so many, especially in Orange County, California, Rob. Incredible Ryan Ellis. Welcome to Office Hours.
Thank you, David. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy you're here because you have helped me so much, not really in my golf game, because although I thought when I met you that Travis Matthew was truly a golf company.
It takes 10 strokes off your game, so that's maybe a you thing.
He said it's the Indian, not the arrow. But I travel 200 days a year, and there is not a better looking and better quality and more comfortable apparel company. Everything from head to toe, I make sure is Travis Matthew. Now I get compliments from my wife and my kids about how great I look. So number one, just want to start off by saying thank you for making me look good.
And so you're the microfiber shorts. I love
it. Well, you know, we like to think we redefine performance because when you thought about performance with athletic companies, it was shiny, techy, poly, and it did washed well, all that. And so we redefined and tried to find blends that looked really good and more casual, but still had those properties. So they're made to travel. You go to an airport, you're going to see Travis Matthew all day. Doesn't shrink much, very easy to treat, and it's a more elevated look than that really sporty look.
It really is. And, you know, it goes to all the accessories as well, because whether it's the shoes, the socks, and other things, it's...
You're really head to toe. I love it.
The belt. Well, even the belt, like the first belt that I got, completely stylish because the tastes of the buyers and the producers at Travis Matthew are like none other. But it's like, there's always some sort of unique, stretchy comfort part of what goes on. But the success you've had is in the numbers. We talk about the fastest growing apparel company, the most successful company in Orange County. Your success is so great that even when you had lost four executives, that in a down economy, especially in your industry and space, you guys are disappointed, but you outperformed everyone in your space still. What do you think it is that you've drawn from your previous, and I think it comes from your athletic experience, that you've taken into this corporate world, that just being average isn't enough to be better in every aspect seems to be your attitude and your energy?
Yeah, I mean, I think the athletic side really got me going and fueled me, I think, from a company standpoint.
But you're not a golfer. Sec.
Can you stop saying this on camera?
Oh, is that what I want to
get it? I'm a scratch. Okay.
And I'm not.
No, I think we took a different approach to the brand, and it's a slower approach, right? It wasn't as fast. You see digital companies popping up, and it's like they want to get to 10 million tomorrow. And we said, we're going to take this slow, and we're going to start out, and we're going to be a product company. So a lot of companies come up with marketing ideas, and they do it really successfully, but the product doesn't live up. We kind of did the opposite. We came up with product ideas and are like, how do we market it? As we've grown, the magic's been Now we still are a product company, but we're marketing it at the same time. So that's really enabled us to think, like you talk about belts. We spent so much, belts are such an underserviced category. Nobody cares, right? If you go look at wholesale customers, they have a rack of belts, that's it. And so rethinking about all these categories like denim, like nobody's doing performance denim out there, or I'm sure people are, but none of the big companies are. So when we attack a category, if we don't have a gap in the market, we don't go into that category.
Amazing. Let me ask you this. So what made you want to go product first and not do what everybody else did? What was in your DNA that had you think like that?
I've always been a product person. I remember like in high school and I was like, I'd wear the like corduroy shorts that were super comfy with like an e-waistband or whatever, like before that was cool. And it's like, and I wasn't cool for wearing it, but it was more like, I just always knew like, why can't people make more comfortable clothing? Like they, from day one, that was kind of the thought process. And then I started my career in sales. So all you do is listen to the customer all day and you learn. And all you do is go, man, I wish they could make better product. We've got a designer or somebody heading design that's got a vision that we're all supposed to just trust. And it's just bouncing all over the place. And so we learned really early on, like, let's listen, let's build our vision, listen to the customer, and then mold that together. And we never really had somebody at the top that was like, no, just trust the vision. We want to go this direction. So it's been really wearable and relatable. And that's what we found.
You have an internal committee that you would make these decisions with, not just one voice?
No, definitely not just one voice. Okay. Yeah, we actually have a huge committee now. We do digital design reviews where we have 50 different people in our company digitally do it. And then we print it out old school and rank it on the wall. And we sort of have a draft on what goes where. And you'd be shocked how many times a style that we all hate is one of the top ranked styles.
Ryan, David Williams here, Sarasota, Florida. Really appreciate your time today. One of the companies that I have, it's a recruiting company called Team Hired, where we help people get their team hired. And I know at Travis Matthew, you guys have had some explosive growth. And I usually, part of the framework is that is surrounding yourself with great people, great executives. So my question for you would be, I'd be curious, what is the framework of your hiring process to attract such a powerful team to allow you to do powerful things?
Well, I would say we've had a lot of turnover, especially leading to, you know, 23. And I think what we've done differently, well, one with turnover is onboarding process. It used to be, here's a computer, just run. And now I think we've rethought who we hire. We used to have this list of characters, relentlessness, all these things that you guys would all know and say, we don't care. Like, let's get an athlete that has these qualities, which works great when you're private and you're just squeezing every ounce of every person and every penny to go get there and selling a dream of, you might get ownership. We could get this. This is where we're going. You can get big pay raises. Then you become a public company and go, we've got to rethink this. And it took me a while. Like, we had some misses there. And I think as he, as Dave said, you know, we had four executives leave and they were all executives that had been with the company 10 years or more. And it was like, what the hell are we going to do? Right? Like, how are we going to figure this out? And so, you know, I really took a lot of time thinking and said, well, hold on a second. Like, our old executive team, as much as I loved it, that's not really what a $500 million or billion-dollar company looks like, right? Mm. Like, you need diverse ideas and opinions. And before, it's like, well, if you were at Nike for 20 years, don't bring them in. They're just not going to understand the culture. Mm-hmm. And so, like, how do we find the balance there to say, finding people with great experience that can really stand up things like go-to-market, but also can fit in culturally, have that entrepreneurial mindset, but at this stage, not too entrepreneurial, because you can get in trouble with that of like trying to do everything, trying to be everything to everyone, wanting to wear 100 hats. It's like, no. I need my VP of sales to be thinking about wholesale sales. I want his opinion on e-commerce, but I really want him honed in and focused. And so we hired four executives over a span, as you can imagine. I went through, it was a rigorous interview process to answer your original question. Is I just said, I'm going for great, not good. And if I'm finding good, I am not settling and I'll do the job. I had 32 direct reports for about 3 months. Then I had 24. And yeah, the business suffered a little bit for it. But where we're at today is we have a powerhouse team because we didn't settle. And I've really talked to our executive team about doing that at the director level and down. It's like, we've got to take the appropriate time because we're running so fast. We just want to hire. Don't worry about onboarding and just go. And so now we've slowed down and said, hey, until we find great, we're not going to hire. And then we're going to give them a 90 to 120-day onboarding process. What that means is all they do is listen and learn. We want their opinion, but they're not a decision maker for the first 90 to 120 days. That way, they immerse themselves in the culture. When they do make decisions, they're mindful of the people that are already here.
I love that. Thank you very much.
Imagine starting a small business. Your first customer, your first hire, your first real paycheck. It's an exciting time, but also a little scary. That's where JustWorks comes in. As an all-in-one platform JustWorks supports small business growth by providing seamless tools for benefits, payroll, HR, and compliance, all with transparent pricing. Running payroll is now painless. You can complete it in 90 seconds or less and automate payments. So it's as simple as set it and forget it. In 2023 alone, JustWorks processed over 25.6 billion in trusted payroll for its customers. And you won't have to worry about paperwork. They handle payroll, tax documents, and reporting to ensure compliance. Visit justworks.com/podcast to join thousands of small businesses that trust JustWorks to manage payroll, benefits, compliance, and more. That's justworks.com/podcast.
I have a question, but I want to comment on that because I think it's amazing to take the 90 to 120 days of no decision making. Really liberates that person from the stress of needing to be seen as, oh, I'm back. No, you're here just to absorb and to learn and understand the culture.
Well, you know how I learned that? I had an executive quit in 4 weeks. So, you know, I had to look in the mirror, and he wasn't the right person for the company, no doubt. But in those situations, you look in the mirror and say, what could I have done better? And I went, man, I've let him make decisions from day one because I had to. He was in HR, too, which is a tough department to do that. Yeah. And it's like immediately he started running, and he was just causing chaos in the business. And a lot of that wasn't his fault. Like, I should have said, nope. Yeah. Like, we're going to wait. I know we have a need there. I'll spend more time there. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Well, Chad, just to one of them, you know, I coach a lot of executives like Ryan. And one of the rules, the 90-day rule, is that this shadowing period, people think it's just about asking questions. But it's also about asking for suggestions. So without decision making, in whatever level, there's three things you need. You need that shadowing, then working with, and then supervising. Now you can scale because now they're set. And it does take upwards of 360 days to get through that process before someone truly without any supervision should, especially in that size of company, make a decision unilaterally, because it takes that long to understand the culture side of decision making. And this first 90-day period, and we utilize it in a smaller company than Travis Matthew, but it's so critical to get the suggestions, because there's some things that they're carrying forward that is so obvious to them that without making any decisions, or say even as simple as, you know, there's a software that does that. And you might have, like, literally at a company that size, 40 people dedicated, but because you've been in a vacuum, you didn't know there was existing app or software that, especially today, you're just not exposed to all the solutions. So it's questions and suggestions while you're shadowing. But go ahead.
Lack of context. They don't have full context of how it works. So I don't know your age, but you seem young. You seem young.
Well, oh, no,
younger than me. Younger than me, which means you're definitely younger.
Body's breaking down, but shoulder injury.
Everyone's younger than Dave, right?
Yeah, except for Diane Cannon. She looks younger than me.
Exactly. So, but. You're a young guy, CEO of what I call, what I've seen even before I met you, the Apple of the apparel world. I'm saying, like, it just seems like you're the people that are going to take over. It starts as this what seems as a golf apparel company, but now it's expanded to so much more. What is the leadership lesson that you've learned in your career that help give you certainty and confidence in the position that you're in?
Well, I mean, I wake up today, I'm the best CEO in the world, and tomorrow I'm like, I'm in way over my head. Yeah. So I wouldn't sit here and say that. And I think some of that fuels me. I think I've always got that healthy fear of, like, I don't have imposter syndrome, but I have a healthy fear of, like, am I good enough for this? And so it really drives me to say, I've never got to a point where I'm like, I'm the best for a week period, and no one's better than me, and I'm going to stand on my heels. Or I prepare like crazy for anything, right? For this. Like, I've got notes before. I don't even know what we're going to talk about. But I'm like, here's what I might want to talk about. Here's what I'm thinking. If I'm doing a company meeting, like, people think I wing it because I can talk. Yeah. I'm winging it because I've already got the material done. So I think the preparation is a big thing for me. And I think, you know, where I've had success too is, like, I'm not a founder. I was the first employee hired at Travis Matthew. So at no point was I not adaptable to thinking 3 to 4 years, we need to make changes. Like, the way we're doing doesn't work. Again, it's not trust my vision. And I'm still at this point, it's like, we've completely changed our culture document in 20, and we just changed it again last year. And so we're constantly evolving to say, hey, the business is different, We got a much bigger company, a lot more people. People have changed. You know, when I was 30, I was trying to figure out 20-year-olds. Now I'm 40, trying to figure out 30s and 20-year-olds. And so I think the adaptability is such a key piece to not think, I've got all this figured out. Like, you never have it figured out. You've said it. There's no winning in business, right? You define it how you want to. And so you just keep driving.
I think the epitome of leadership is an intelligent follower. And that drive to do research, to be more interested than interesting, which was an immediate affinity that I felt when I met Ryan Ellis. He's a true leader. And it's very rare, by the way, for the first employee to continue past 30 million, past 100 million.
I'm aware of that too.
Past,
so.
past 300 million, yeah. And then to be so close to a billion. That, you know, even in my journey as being CEO of a public company, when I was about Ryan's age, the company outgrew me. I wasn't capable of doing what you remarkably have been able to do and empowering so many people. And I love the mindset that you give to the leadership and the intelligent following. And I love when he says, I do all the research, even for this, because I spend a minimum of time every day. And I encourage, I know I coach some of you guys to do the research and to elevate your awareness. It just, like Bob Parsons said, the founder today of GoDaddy, right? Like, if you are consistent and persistent in learning that, life will tell you all its secrets, and so will business. It's the cheat codes. You may not be good at Fortnite, but if they gave you the cheat codes, you'd beat the crap out of your kids, I promise you.
Yeah.
That's what Ryan Ellis does at my favorite brand. I put it there so I can remember the name. Nope. Travis Matthew, the most comfortable, quality, stylish brand I've ever worn, and I'm proud to wear it every day. Thank you, Ryan Ellis, for suiting me up and joining us here on Office Hours.